I invite you to turn in your Bibles to John 20, 24 through 31. Now, those that are going to the children's church, John chapter 20, verses 24 through the end of the chapter here. Hear the reading of God's holy word. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Wonderful, wonderful news. I've been preaching here since Easter, and going forward on the first words of Jesus after the resurrection. And the first word being Mary, who eventually saw him in the tomb and called out to her by her name. And that name became recognition for her that Jesus had breath. He had life. He was no longer dead, but alive and could respond and speak. And so this is what Jesus was proclaiming in that moment, that he was alive. And then as he proclaimed to the disciples, whom he had called friends, those that had ran away, those who were hiding, those that had denied him, all but one, John the beloved, was there at the cross, all but one, that his first words to them as a group was, "Peace be unto you." Not a sword, not as one who was angry at them, but one who was offering forgiveness and love and grace and extending that hand rather than a sword to his disciples. How relieved they were that once seeing Jesus alive, that he wasn't angry with them, but he was offering forgiveness and grace. And to today, speaking of the first words of Jesus, these sayings, is he also comes before Thomas and the disciples a full week later, some 8 days later, and he says, "Peace be with you," once again, the same thing, so that Thomas could hear that, "Peace be unto you." But then the response of this, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side, stop doubting and believe." These were words given to and for Thomas and for us. We believe that this book is a living document, a living book. It's not like some other book or a magazine that you might read or an article or something in the newspaper. This is different. This speaks to us as a living book that relays the relationship of God to man, to all of humanity, from the beginning of time until his coming again. It speaks about his relationship from our fall, our disobedience unto the Lord that brought sin and evil into the world, and how God seeks to reconcile us once again to him so that we are not separated from the Father in heaven, but that we are joined together in fellowship and friendship, and as he is our Lord and our God, our Savior. Now, before this sermon series, I'd spoken about the last words of Jesus as he hung on the cross that spoke of his passion and his love given to us all to the point of death. We need to understand that Jesus did indeed die, and he died to be a Savior for us when he rose from the grave. He paid the penalty of our sin and death. I saw somewhere on Facebook, it's been a long time ago, where someone had written about scars heal, talking about somebody's tragedy in their life. And they said, all scars heal. And then someone responded just below it, oh, no, they don't. Scars don't heal. They remain as scars, always. Now, you might have wounds that heal. You might have, you know, something with a surgery that heals that might not cause a scar, but scars don't heal. They remain there. How many of you have seen the movie Jaws or read the book Jaws? One of the famous movies from, 1977 or something like that? And it's a classic. The following movies, don't watch them. They're no good. My family and I did one of those. We're going to watch all one summer, watch all those movies, the Jaws movies. They get worse and worse and worse. But that one's a classic. There's one point on the boat, and the gruff old captain of this boat and the college guy and the other guy, they began. The sheriff, they began displaying their scars to one another, building rapport with one another. And before long, you see there, they roll up their sleeve and say, see this, I got this in when I was out there and in the ocean and got a shark bite right here. Or they say, I got a, you know, another one rolls up another part and shows another scar and a story. Then one of them lifts their leg up on the table, rolls up their pants and displays, and this I got in such and such place at such and such time. And they retell the story of what they went through. Jesus has the scars that tell us what he went through. Whether there's a million people here to hear or whether there's two, this is the good news. Jesus shares the scars. He rolls up his sleeves for Thomas. Thomas, who had already heard the witness of the disciples, his close friends and allies. He'd already heard them proclaim, we've seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. He wasn't willing to trust that. He instead wanted to see the very scars and place his hand in those scars to be as a proof to know that Jesus is risen from the dead. I think this is important for us. That this instant happened to display what his faith became afterwards. So Jesus pulls up his shirt after displaying his hand and said, put your finger there in the hole of my hands, the scars that are still evident there. And the hole in his side. Now, it wasn't some open wound still. It was scarred and indented in so that he could actually place his his hand in maybe an inch or two from the way that it had scarred itself around. So when Jesus rose from the grave, those scars did not go away. They were there as a permanent example of the love of Jesus, the love of God for you and me that is now open for everyone that rights our disobedience because Jesus was perfectly obedient and without sin. And through him, we are saved. The whole world is saved. Now, what does Thomas go on to do? Thomas proclaims right then and there immediately, because Jesus has responded to him, and because he's responding to him, he's also responding to you and me. And we trust the witness of Thomas because of what he did. The disciples go on to be executed. Maybe a few months have transpired or a few years. For each of them, as they go about trying to build the church and bear witness of Jesus Christ as a risen Lord and Savior. Thomas, too, is one of those that dies a horrific death. Now, keep in mind beforehand how afraid all of these disciples are. They're hiding. They're in fear for their lives, and they're hiding. So what causes them to go to the point where they are hung, shot with arrows, gored, hung upside down on a cross, you name it, beheaded, all but one? The beloved, John. Not John the Baptist, but John the disciple, who is put off on at Patmos to live out his days. But he's the only one that was at the cross. All of these were executed. How do they go from hiding to preaching the word of God and that he is risen from the grave? Something significant must have happened, and that is that Jesus is risen from the grave. He displays those scars. There is evidence so strong for them that they cannot deny him, and they are willing to now go and take up their cross and follow Jesus. That they are willing to go to the point of death even. Dave Dravecki, a famous pitcher years ago, I think he pitched for the San Francisco Giants. He had cancer in his arm and he had surgery to repair it and all of that. But I think there's a scene in which he is throwing in the major leagues and his arm just breaks right then and there as he's throwing a pitch. His major leagues are over with. It's now a battle with cancer. And so he goes through that. He's a strong, devoted Christian person. And he gets thousands upon thousands of fan mail of people trying to encourage him or sharing their faith and so on and so forth. And he reads through all of these, and then he gets some that are discouraging, that are hurtful. One person wrote, and I'm not giving it to you word for word, but one such person wrote to say, "Why do you continue to believe in a God that does not heal you? Why?" And goes on to kind of poke fun of his faith and even say that it is foolish for you. And you use faith as a crutch for what is reality. Whoa! What got a hold of that person that they felt so in need to write a letter to that point, to just be a discourager? Well, he writes a letter back speaking of his faith and how God has helped him even through this battle with cancer. Doesn't mean that God's going to heal him of the cancer, but he can still trust and have faith in God who can help him cope through it. You see, we're not made as creatures for this earth alone. We've got some 120 years for the best of us. And if we get to that 120 years, our eyesight might fail, our mind might fail, our joints might fail us. On and on it goes. That's not what God intended for you and me. He intended for us to have the youthfulness of His creation. The joy and love and peace apart from the wars and the hatred of this world and the cancers of this world. And forever and ever, I can look at a group of people that call themselves Christian, and I can say, I will know you forever. I will know you forever. Because God has proclaimed that all who follow Him will enter into His kingdom forever and ever. Amen. See, our world is filled with and growing with people who want to denounce Christianity and see it as meaningless. But our world so needs Him more and more. Mental illness is on its rise, and I understand there's a chemistry involved with that. But I also understand when people haven't given their foundation to Christ and God's holy word, that it confuses them. And they allow the torments of the mind to run rampant, the hopelessness of just a secular world to run rampant. We need Jesus. Our culture needs Jesus. This community needs Jesus. And Jesus shows the scars to demonstrate His love for us. And He makes sure that Thomas puts his hands and his finger in the side and in his hands to know that He is indeed the risen Messiah, the Savior. And that's why immediately Thomas says, "My Lord," which means who I will be obedient to, "and my God," that Jesus is not just a man, but that He is God Himself. The one who fashioned the universe, the one who breathed life into each one of us, the one who wants to call all of us His friend, the one who has saved us, even to the unbeliever, Jesus has offered salvation, hope and peace, freedom from guilt. And so there's some who even want to deny that Jesus even existed. There's historical evidence that is clear that Jesus existed as a man. And not just from Scripture, but outside of Scripture. Historical evidence from Josephus, Pliny the Elder, the Romans, and several others. Even the Quran itself points to Jesus as the greatest prophet. Now, I don't agree with the Quran as a faith to follow, but that they acknowledge that Jesus existed as a man. Now, where they miss the point is that Jesus is God and is Savior of the world. And that's a big miss. And their point is a kind of a works righteousness. And ours is a grace righteousness that thirsts for the righteousness of Jesus. There was a woman that I saw recently that broke a Guinness Book of World Records. I don't know why. Some of these things are interesting from time to time that come across my feed. And do y'all know what a plank is? Okay, let me explain. All right. Don't ask me to do one up here, okay? I'm not going to. At most, I could only hold it for about 15 seconds anyways. A plank is like doing a sit-up, except you put your forearms down and your hands out like this, and you hold yourself like a board above the ground with only your toes, the bottoms of your feet, kind of holding yourself up. And you try to hold it up there. It builds your core muscles and back muscles. And, there's a lot of people that can do that for a minute or 2 minutes. I can go, yeah, I used to, it's like, but this lady held for, I think it was 8 hours plus to break the world record. Wow. Now, do I believe that? Well, I start thinking, well, are the Guinness Book of World Record people, do they have integrity? Well, on the whole, yeah, I can trust that. They usually have a representative there that is watching and making sure. Then I begin thinking, well, wouldn't she have to go to the bathroom in that time? So it really wouldn't be 8 hours. But no, they said you cannot go to the bathroom during that time. Well, maybe they shift their legs and like lift one leg up or put a knee down or something like that. No, they watch to make sure that that does not happen. That if you do that, then that time ends right then and there. So part of me goes, that's hard to believe. Because I can't imagine myself doing that. But see, I can't be the Savior of the world. I can't bear the same scars that Jesus bore. You can't either. Only Jesus can. And if we'll put our trust and faith in Him, He'll help us in living this life. He'll help us be a witness to others and directing them to Jesus as their hope and help in this world. So what matters next then is how you and I deal with these first words of Jesus after the resurrection. We place our trust that Jesus did indeed die on the cross and He bears those scars, and we trust that He gave this evidence, this proof to Thomas and the other disciples, and they were willing to go out and even sacrifice their own life, not themselves, but that others did so because they were preaching the good news. That they were willing to do so because of the evidence of Jesus' resurrection and the power that comes through it to give hope and healing and life everlasting. And this is why, as we and the whole world all give an answer to Jesus, all of us do, and that is to say, my Lord and my God, or to say nothing at all. To say nothing at all is to reject what he has done. But to say to Jesus in our own hearts, whether it's here in an altar, or whether it's at home, or whether it's in the pews where we sit, or whether it's while we're driving down the road, and we just want to give thanks and praise to God, my Lord and my God. How wonderful that presence is to be. I'm going to add this. It was something funny that happened this week, but I'm going to share it as I learned it. Now, y'all have heard of baby carrots before. I learned about baby carrots, some of the ladies, because we talked about this week. It's not anything bad on anybody. But I learned about baby carrots about 2 years ago from my wife. There are some good things that my wife can share. Actually, a lot. I'm gonna pay for that one. That didn't come out right, did it? I'm fixing. I'm repairing. All right. But I thought baby carrots come out of the ground just like regular carrots. And she burst that bubble that I had. And in essence, opened my eyes to something different, new. And she said, no, they're actually shaved down from carrots and made into those little baby carrots. You can look it up. It's true. They don't come out as little baby carrots out of the ground. And, but that's what happened to Thomas in seeing the wounds of Jesus, the scars. It's like his eyes were opened. He saw something so tremendously different than what he had thought before. See, he thought death and that was it. Death, that's it. Jesus is no more. That's what he thought. And now, hands in his side. He's real. He is alive. His eyes, his heart, his soul, his mind were now opened. And he went and preached the gospel. Church, our community needs you. Our young people, our youth need you to be believers and to put your hope and trust in Jesus so that they will have a way in which their hearts and their eyes and their minds and their spirit is open to the risen Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, God, we pour out our spirit unto you just as Thomas did. Lord, let us not think of him as doubting Thomas, but let us look at him as believing Thomas. And God, may we proclaim the same good news that he did. My Lord and my God. For Jesus, when you died on the cross, you were not just a man, but you were also God on the cross, pouring out your love to us and exhibiting your scars, which are the proof of your love to us. We thank you and praise you, my Lord and my God. Amen.